So we come to Luke chapter 18 here in verse 15 to 17. We're in the middle of an interesting section, at least in the book of Luke, of a variety of people approaching Jesus, desiring to have an audience with him. And they're also desirous, in some of the instances, of hearing certain things from Jesus himself. Last week, we saw the example of one who came before the Lord in prayer, such as the Pharisee, who gave thanks that he was not like those sinners, and that the Lord has instead been pleased to grant to him to be such a fantastic person. And Jesus concludes in the parable in verse 14, I tell you, this man, that is the tax collector, went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so we saw last week that those who come to Christ with a sense of how great we are, to plead our own deeds and our own merits as to why Christ should listen to us, why Christ should receive us, will be sorely disappointed. And next week, not to steal Pastor Doug's thunder, but just to look at the next section briefly, the very familiar passage of the rich young ruler who comes running to Jesus and kneeling at his feet, asks him what it is that he must do to inherit eternal life. One that we have a great compassion for, and our Lord does as well. And yet he goes away without being blessed. He goes away without receiving that which he desired. And then between these two texts, we find the text that we'll be considering this morning of these who are brought to Jesus and who Jesus takes in his arms and blesses and says that of such as these are the ones who shall inherit the kingdom of God. In this sense, as we think about the ways of which we come to Jesus, this morning we'll see in the text of what it is that Jesus says about those who desire to come to him to receive his blessing should be like, and what that type of person is of great concern and importance for us, that we would be those that desire to come and to have that say it about us, that we would be those to whom the kingdom of God belongs, or to be received into the kingdom, just as so often we come week after week, desirous of hearing our Lord's blessing, and we hear it in the liturgy, yes, but we also want to hear it on the last day. That's what we'll be considering this morning. In this sense, we see in the first three verses of our section, indeed the only three verses in our section, the sense of the little children and of the way in which Jesus loves them. The title of the sermon is Jesus Loves the Little Children. If you grew up in Sunday school in certain parts of the country, you probably learned the song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. I can sing it for you later and you will definitely not forget it, simply because of my singing, but also because of the words are rather catchy. And so simply wanted to point out this morning that we're seeing that Christ has particular regard for the children, for those who are not like the Pharisee or this rich young ruler who come with commentary said of their earthly possessions or reasons why Jesus should receive them. Rather, they're children. Children have nothing to give to someone else that they might earn something back. Maybe they're cute or particularly fun at certain times, but they don't have anything that they can give in return. And so here Christ uses, in this particular example, of what it is about the children that he particularly loves and has a particular care and concern for. And we've seen that throughout Luke's gospel, and we'll consider some other passages in the New Testament to highlight as well that Jesus has a great concern for children and those like them. And we notice here at the very beginning something that is very contrary to the way that Jesus normally interacts with the children, with his disciples in verse 15. They were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them, but when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. Now, commentators love to make division on a variety of passages, but in this particular section, there are two schools of thought, as it were, as to why is it that the disciples keep the children from coming unto Jesus. There's the positive take that the disciples were concerned for Jesus and didn't want him overly taxed. And so they were keeping the children at bay so that Jesus could have a break. And on the other hand, the negative view is that the disciples had no care for the children. They were elitist, or in other words, that they had no time for the children. They had no time for these babes to come unto Jesus. Even the way in which, if you're reading from the New American Standard Bible, which is also available in the pew, where it says in verse 15, even their babies to him, they're speaking not of toddlers or of younger children, but the word that's behind that is actually a very particular word for a very young child. Such as a baby, one that is very early, not one that's talking, not one that's walking, but one that is very much so a newborn infant. And so here, as they're bringing these infants to him, they're being rejected. And this would be a common practice in that day to bring children to rabbis, to in particular to bring them to Jesus for healing, for blessing, that they might say a good word over them. We saw that, if you recall, at the beginning of the book, with those who received Christ, that multiple people will pronounce blessing over Christ. And so it's a familiar cultural example, but also it's that which Jesus has to actually bless them in a way that far goes beyond anything that any one of us could ever say to another person. For he has the words of eternal life. He has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He has the ability to open the door and to bring the children to his father. And so the disciples, in holding them off, in the negative view, is that they have no care for these children. If you'd like to look over at the book of Mark, or if you've been following any other gospels, if you maybe have a book that lays out the gospels and shows where the similar stories occur at various points, you notice that we've diverged for a bit in Luke, and now we're converging again in Matthew, Mark, and Luke with the same story at the same time. If you'd like to look at Mark chapter 10, we see here perhaps reason for the negative view. We'll simply read here in Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Notice the difference and some of the detail that Mark adds that Luke, for whatever reason, leaves out. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying his hands on them. We see here in Mark that there is an emotion attached to Jesus responding to the disciples, that he's, in other words, angry, we might say in just common English, that he's angry with the disciples for keeping the children far from him. And so turning back to Luke chapter 18, the negative view of the disciples keeping the little children from him has some additional textual support elsewhere. And we'll see that whatever view is chosen, Jesus is instructing the disciples to let the little children come unto him, that he might bless them and care for them. It's in this sense we see that Jesus has particular care and concern for the children, that he cares for them, even as the text has already said, that he is picking them up and blessing them, as we saw at the end of Mark's account in verse 16, that Jesus is having that particular care and concern for actually touching them, for showing his care and blessing for them. Something which goes beyond the way that he will interact with the rich young ruler next week, as we will see. But rather that here, that Christ has care for the little children and even rebukes those who would keep them from coming unto him. And he blesses them. In this sense, we see that Christ, in identifying the children and blessing them, is using them as a foil to describe what it is to be those who enter into the kingdom of heaven. Something which all of us should have grave concern for this morning. What is it that would cause us to enter the kingdom of heaven? What would we be like for those who would enter the narrow gate? What is it to be one of those? And here Jesus further explains it for us by using children, as he so often does, and does so here again. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to children such as these. Verse 16 says, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." You may ask, in what way is Jesus describing the children? We'll look a little later at John chapter 3 with Jesus's infamous discussion with Nicodemus, who's confused about Jesus saying he must be born again, for how can he enter his mother to be born again a second time? And so we don't want to fall into the same trap here as we're thinking about how is that we can become like children again in all the stereotypical senses. But in particular, notice in comparison to the Pharisee last week and the rich young ruler in the week to come, and the way in which the children are brought near unto Christ. It says, verse 15, they were bringing even their babies to him, that others are ushering them into Christ, that they're coming not even under their own power or volition. They're simply brought to Christ. Furthermore, they are brought near to Christ without anything to commend them to him, that there's nothing that they can give in return, that it's very otherworldly. We think often we might see in a political campaign, or at least maybe not anymore. It used to be said that the politicians needed to go out and shake hands and kiss babies, and they would be able to have an increase in their support. But that's not really what Jesus is doing here. Rather, he's receiving them and blessing them and causing them to receive that which he intends for them. But they are brought near without any merit, and they are brought near without any sense of their need for Christ. They're infants. They have no senses in which they could understand or apprehend that they would have need for Christ. And yet, Christ here is saying in verse 16 that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And so we must have concern as we think about what is it that would be said of us that we might be children such as these. We could take some of it that we are brought near to Christ, that is not anything which we have done, that commends us unto Christ. There's nothing which we can plead saying, Lord, I've done such and such, such as those on the last day who will cry out, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? And he will say that they should depart from him, they who practice wickedness. Likewise, we see they're brought near without any sense of their need for Christ, that they're in some sense wholly incapable of saving themselves, and yet they are brought near to Christ. And Christ blesses them. He gives him his blessing and shows care and concern for them. In this sense, we'll see in a little bit, as we hone in more about the phrase children such as these. But as we think momentarily, as an aside, about little children even in our own midst, those who have kids or those who have children in their lives, and we think about the ways that we treat them as it relates to their coming to the holy things, or as it relates to them drawing near to Christ in a real tangential sense in their own life. I'd like to look at two verses along the way as we think about something of doing what is necessary to not hinder the little children from coming up near unto Christ. I'd like to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15, it says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, is urging him and exhorting him to continue in those things which he has known since childhood, that he was taught by his grandmother and his mother, that he would not depart from the way of the Lord. So as we're thinking about the way in which we deal with the children in our own lives, do we do what is necessary to bring them to the Lord, knowing, of course, that we cannot procure the Lord's blessing for them, knowing, of course, that we cannot save them, but are we making known to them the ways of truth and life? And some common ways that we do that is one of the ways that we're committed as a church is with catechism, which you see every week. We'll announce for those who are being catechized to come down that that's part of what we're trying to do, to catechize, to give question and answers, which families are working on at home, that they might be presented with the truth about Christ at an early age, that they might know it at an early age, and that they may have opportunity to interact with those who are outside of their household to consider the things of Christ. Furthermore, we also see the way of family worship, of holding forth those things to them. These are not things that have the power to save but they're in keeping with doing that which is necessary to bring these things unto the little children, to those that are in our midst. For Christ does, as we see throughout the rest of scriptures, that he has a grave care and concern for those who are the weak and the far off in society, particularly children. And that he has a desire to care for them, as so often the scriptures say. And so, are we doing what is necessary to not hinder little ones such as these to come near unto Christ? One final series of verses on this particular aside. If you'd like to look at Matthew 18, Matthew 18, sometimes, at least I can sometimes think of Matthew 18 as that passage which we pull out when we're going to do some form of church discipline, and yet there's another way in which we'd like to highlight it this morning as we think about little children and of the way in which Jesus interacts with the children. If you'd like to see more, just look through the Gospels and see all the times that Christ interacts with children. Verse 1 of Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." And we see here again Jesus' care and concern for the children and of the grave responsibility for all of us who are in Christ to not do anything that could cause a little one to stumble. And when we do, to confess our sin, to seek repent and to seek reconciliation, to make things right. But also, let us all the more, as we gather to pray week after week, give these things to prayer, that we would ask and pray, even as on Wednesday night we so often hear with a number of the children is asking and praying that they would have a changed heart, maybe not necessarily knowing what that means, but having that desire of to come unto Christ. And so as we think this morning through Luke chapter 18 of children such as these, and to them belongs the kingdom of God. And likewise here in Matthew 18, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We should be those who have grave care and concern for the children in our midst, that they too would taste and see that the Lord is good. When the next move and consider to the way that even as Matthew 18 indicated, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says here in Luke chapter 18 that it's children such as these. Sometimes this verse is used for some other reasons, sometimes to justify infant baptism. There is no water in this text, insofar as I can tell, but simply to say that the grave care and concern for children is there, absolutely. But it's very important to notice what Jesus says. It's not these children, but belongs to such as these, that they're used as an example, a type, for us to consider and to understand that we must be, as Matthew 18 says, converted and become like these children, to be childlike in our faith, that we would approach Christ in this way, that we might come near and be received and receive his blessing. In this sense, as Jesus is revealing that the kingdom of heaven is open to those like the children, we see that there's a sense in which the children are those that we are to pattern ourselves after and to model ourselves after as it relates to our walking in this present age. Again, as I've said already, Jesus does not say to these children the kingdom of God belongs, but to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And so we must not miss the meaning of the parable beyond the literal sense and seek to add water where there is none. For if we do so, we miss the entire point of the text, which is that we are to be those who are childlike. We are those who are in Christ Jesus, and all those who seek and desire entrance into the kingdom of heaven are to be like children as it relates to before the Lord. And we'll speak about what that means in particular terms for us as we move along this morning. So as the kingdom of God is open to those who are brought to the Lord and blessed by him, we see much of the same that we often repeat as it relates to our understanding of salvation and the image of children coming unto Christ. As I said earlier, infants cannot walk, they cannot speak, they cannot do anything to earn something. And likewise, those who are found in the kingdom of heaven are likened unto infants. For what is it that we may bring and offer unto the Lord, that we would receive eternal life? We'll see an example of one next week of this rich young ruler, just to jog our memories in verse 18 of Luke 18. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." So we see in the parable which is to come next week, and which directly follows the one that we're considering now, of the rich young ruler who comes unto Christ. He runs and he kneels. As it says in the other gospels, that he's running and kneeling at Christ's feet. Very commendable. Elsewhere it says that Jesus had compassion on him. And yet, he goes away from Christ without receiving the blessing. Why? So he wasn't one who had this childlike faith, as we'll see. He had one who was too caught up in the things of this world, who was too caught up in his keeping of the commandments, or at least his perception of his keeping of the commandments. And so as we think about what is found in Scripture of those who are likened unto infants, we must be those who run unto Christ as infants, not pleading anything that we have, but only the merits of Christ, who come near seeking to be those who are blessed, knowing indeed that we receive only that which is of grace and only that which is a free gift. If you'd like to look over at John chapter 3, as I referenced earlier, not only do the scriptures teach that we are to be liken us unto children for all who are in Christ Jesus, but also that there is a sense in which we must be born again. But the scriptures use these various images to describe for us something that's very particular as it relates to the way that we should relate to the Lord and the way in which we should approach him, and the way that we are even described, in ways which cut against the grain of any type of earthly or honors or wisdom that we may desire. We probably, at a certain point in our life, desire to no longer be referred to as a child or a kid or a young person or whatever phrase that may cut against the grain, that we want to be recognized as our own person. Yet here, the scriptures are telling us that we are to be likened unto children, that we are brought near as those who are but babes. Here in John chapter 3, verse 3, says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Pausing for a moment and reflecting back to Luke 18, when Jesus is saying, "Children such as these," and he's referring to them, that it's not a particular a child that is literally considered, but rather it's the sense in which we're thinking of it in a figurative sense of children such as these, that it's referring to something which is not tied down to the explicit physical sense of a child. Again, it's not these particular children, but children such as these. Not to overwork the passage, but simply to say that it's children such as these. And here in John chapter 3, we see, I would argue, children such as these again. And how it is that these children come to be born. We see some important things. That unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The kingdom of heaven is not a place that is like unto this world. It's not those who are born of the flesh that have right to enter the kingdom of God, but rather those born by the Spirit have right to enter into the kingdom of God. And the Spirit regenerates whom he will regenerate, verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and throughout Scripture, Spirit often spoken of in similar passages, even just of the word of breath. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. When Jesus says, children such as these, he's speaking of those who have been born again according to the Spirit, who have been born according to water and the Spirit, who have been born again, born a second time. Those who receive this new nature in Christ Jesus, these are the ones who are the little children that Jesus has particular care and concern for in a salvific sense. That he has care and concern for us, those whom the Spirit has caused to be born again, those who are described elsewhere as a people for his own possession. So that here in Luke chapter 18, when we hear and see Christ receiving these little ones and rebuking his disciples, as it says in Mark's account, saying, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. He's speaking of those who are little children, those who identify as such, those who have been born again according to the Spirit. Not those who account their physical generation as much, but rather those who count for much the birth which is in accord with the Spirit. I'd like to look at a couple passages in 1 John, if you'd like to look over there, just to see that the apostle picks up on this language throughout much of his epistle, as we're well aware. It's interesting to see just the way in which he addresses the congregation, referring to them as little children or my children or beloved throughout much of his epistle. And indeed, there's much to commend it to us as we think about children such as these. And are those things something which are commensurate with our own walk, with our own life? Is that something that could be said of us? First John will provide much food for thought, and we'll survey some of the verses here now. First John 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. And we see here the beginning of this idea of little children that is playing out in John's first epistle. Of those who keep his commandments, then we know that we have come to know him. This fruit, as it were, of a true and living faith, as James puts it. These are the little children that Jesus is speaking about, children such as these. Elsewhere in chapter 2 of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 12, says, I'm writing you little children because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you children because you know the Father. I have written to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. We see again here writing to a variety of groups, but to little children in the generic sense because their sins have been forgiven for the sake of Christ. So again, we see somewhat of a parallel with Luke chapter 18 of the little children being brought near unto Christ. Little children such as these who have their sins forgiven for the sake of Christ our Lord, not because of anything in which they have done or will ever do, but simply because of what Christ accomplished for them. Verse 28 of chapter 2. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame. At his coming, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone else also who practices righteousness is born of him. We again see John joining up the two ideas that we saw earlier in John 3 and likewise in Luke 18. This little children idea and of being these little children, but also of being born according to the regeneration which belongs to the Spirit as set forth by Christ. That these are the little children. These are the ones to whom the kingdom of God belongs. These are the ones that we are called to emulate as they emulate Christ. And so in this sense, one final verse of 1 John chapter 5 as we consider. Even at the very end, he closes his epistle with little children, verse 21. Little children, guard yourself from idols. So we see throughout John's epistle a variety of takes upon what it means to be a little child or these little children. And as we think about what it would be to describe this type of person, we've seen that they're conformed to Christ. They practice righteousness as he is righteous, and that we seek to keep his commandments, and knowing that when we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our trespasses. These are the little children that are in view. Turning back to Luke 18, Luke chapter 18, that we see here with Christ, that as he receives these little ones and he blesses them, what a joyous occasion it must have been for them. But also that he's revealing a greater reality and truth beyond simply the physical infants in the text. He's revealing that he has grave care and concern for all of those little children such as these. So if you're in Christ Jesus this morning, that would be you. That would be me. That he has grave care and concern for us. That we have received his blessing. That we have been born again. And that we have confidence. That we will not be ashamed of his coming, as it says in 1 John. But also that we will have right and entrance into the kingdom of God, and it belongs to those such as these little children, people like ourselves, because of what Christ has done for us. And yet, we also see the need throughout the rest of the New Testament scriptures, as we've seen in 1 John, that this is something which is cultivated. This is something which is formed in us as we seek to be children such as these, even as Matthew 18 talked about the need to be converted. And likewise, it says, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That we might think of the Christian life, there's a variety of ways that we can think about it, and the scriptures provide lots of metaphors and ways to think about it, whether it be a road, whether it be a soldier. And here another one, as the way of the little child, that we see again this laid out before us of being like these children, of becoming like them, and pursuing that which is in accord with righteousness. And it's not something which is simply left up to us, that we think what our favorite qualities in children are, and those are the ones we want to seek, but rather it's the ones that we see the scriptures highlighting for us throughout of what it means to be this childlike person. So we see this pursuit of this childlike faith, and again, it's that which does not consider earthly honors or qualities or anything which we have done as something which we can bring and say to the Lord, look at all the things that I have done, even those things that we may have done in his name, that they're not those things which we have done. Look at all the things we have done for you. And yet, these are not what count for much in the kingdom of heaven, that they are filthy rags, as the scriptures say elsewhere. Yet we are to be those who are to be childlike, those who have that implicit trust and faith in God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as applied to us by the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, we see again Peter picking up this idea of newborns, and of the way in which is appropriate Notice here in verse 1, 1 Peter 2 says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. We see here the similar phrase. He uses it's rendered somewhat differently, somewhat different phrase, but the idea, again, being the same of those who are very weak, of these newborn children, these newborn babies, and to put aside all those things which are found from those who walk according to the flesh, to those who are not fixed upon the things above, but rather upon the things below, those who walk in the deeds that are unrighteous, keeping with the sins of our first parents. And what are they? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, or in short, hatred for our fellow man. And instead, we're to put on, put that off, and to put on like these children, to long for the pure milk of the word, that we might grow in respect to salvation. Something of being childlike is to long for that which would make us stronger. We often can hear, even in our midst, the cries of children that they're hungry, that they need that which will make them strong. They simply cry out forth. And it's a good thing that they're crying out for food, that which will make them strong, that which will make them strong in respect to bodily health. And yet for us, as we gather week after week and sit under the preaching of the word, we're hoping, or should hope, to come and to receive that which the Lord has intended for us, that which can make us strong in respect to salvation, the pure milk of the word. And for children such as these, what does it mean to pursue that? But to come and to be present and to sit under the preaching of the word, receiving that which the Lord has for us, searching the scriptures like the Bereans to know if these things are true. That plays into children such as these, those who long for that pure milk of the word that is granted unto us, that we might grow up into the people that we are called to be in Christ. One final verse before we turn back to Luke 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see again this childlike faith is to be that which is to put away that which is in accordance with the world. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. And the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Again, here we see that the scriptures pick up on the idea of children to demonstrate to the audience, to demonstrate to us something about our walk before the Lord, something about what would be keeping in us if we are those who have right or interest in the kingdom of heaven, that we would be babes, as it were, in evil, that we would have no knowledge of it, that we know that children sin, of course, like our first parents. We all sinned. If you asked all of our parents, they would inform us, yes, that we sinned as children. And yet, what is he saying? But simply to be those who know nothing of that which is evil, but rather to be those who seek to be mature, that we should not be childish in our thinking, that we desire that which is strong, that which is true, and to desire that which is from above. If I had to look back at Luke chapter 18, we've seen of those who would come unto Christ are children such as these, and that Christ will receive them, and that Christ will bless them, and that Christ will say that these are the ones, children such as these, who have the right to come into the kingdom of God. Verse 16, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. As Christ blesses all the children of Israel this day, for all those who are in Christ Jesus, we hear that Christ has received us as these little children, that he has blessed us, that he has welcomed us, and that he is present with us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that likewise, that he has intended for us, as we saw elsewhere in the scriptures, that we should be as children as it relates to evil, and to seek and desire that which is from above, that we might be those who are found to be mature in Christ Jesus on the last day. And we might live out those good works which he has appointed for us from before time began. On the other hand, there's a warning present in the text, isn't there? Verse 15. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them, but Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me." We should be those who do not throw up barriers to those who would come unto Christ, whether they be actual little children or other people, but rather that we should be those who seek to bring them to Christ, to bring them to that where Christ is. One example would be bringing people to church. And we seek to come to church, whether it be those children who belong to family, to members of the church, or to those that we seek to bring in from our families, that we should long for them to be present with us because it's here. And in all of the churches across the lands that preach Christ and him crucified, that we have the Lord's promise to be with his people, causing his word to go forth with power, converting and saving the lost, and causing all those in Christ to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And that we see that in the word, we see it in the prayers and in the psalms, and in a moment we'll see it at the table. Tasting and seeing that the Lord is good as he provides nourishment for our souls. So in conclusion, as we consider of the way in which we would come to Christ, let us consider what it is that we say for our own selves of why is it that Christ receives us? Do we have something that we would respond with because I fill in the blank? Or because I haven't done fill in the blank? Rather, is it that with a childlike faith, we have placed our faith and trust upon Christ Jesus, and that we draw near because of what he has done for us, and fully anticipating to receive his blessing as he has promised to bless us. In this way, as we move forward in the weeks ahead, let us see the grave concern that Christ has for his children, and also the ways in which he seeks to all the more demonstrate to us the otherworldly nature of our faith, that it's not counted according to the ways of men, but according to the ways that are above. What an important reminder for all of us as we go back into the world, which tells us all the ways and things that are necessary that we would be counted for as much. Yet for those who are in Christ Jesus this morning, we have heard all that is necessary, that we are those who have received his blessing, and for the kingdom belongs to such as these. For those who are in Christ Jesus this morning, that is true for you, that's true for me, for all those who are far off. And if you do not know Christ this morning, come to Christ, receive him, and look upon him as one who is of childlike faith, seeking to receive all that he has promised to do, for he is faithful and just to provide all that he has promised to do, as we'll even see portrayed for us in the table here in a few moments. Please pray with me. Our Father, we thank you that you've granted to us in your word a wide array of circumstances and accounts, that you speak to all of the places of our lives, that you have written in your word all that is necessary for life and godliness. We would ask, Lord, that you would help us to ascertain whether we are those who are like these little children, for to such as these belong the kingdom of heaven. We would ask, Lord, that you would grant that we would be those who would readily welcome and seek to usher in those who would seek to hear your word, that they too might receive your blessing. And we would pray in particular, Lord, for the children among us, as we know that they hear your word week after week, and they hear it proclaimed in their homes. We would ask, Lord, that you would grant that they may have saving faith and knowledge of you, that they may lay hold of Christ and come into that full and happy estate as your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.